Everyone, well, it's an absolute pleasure and honor to be here tonight to get to share with you. I'm not Mark van Pletzen, in case you were wondering. He's much more well built than I am. Mark had to go back to Durban. He was going to preach tonight, but his schedule is crazy, and he's got a lot of things to get done before he makes the move down. And if you're not aware, Mark van Pletzen is coming. We're transitioning the kind of lead elder role of our eldership team from Wally and Shirley Gersmaier to Mark and Candace van Pletzen. And I'm number two in terms of preaching tonight. I was on the bench. So it's an honor and a privilege to be here tonight. I'll tell you one thing, I'm completely secure in Jesus, so I'll take the opportunity. Can you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, please? We're living in exciting times. Who believes that? Who believes we're living in exciting times?
Yes.
Awesome. 10 of you. Very cool. I'm hoping that by the end of this, maybe we'll have some more hands, but we really are. We're living in a very exciting point in history. And we're going to see things that have never been seen before. As a family, we're on an incredible journey together. A journey that's forming us and shaping us more and more to the image of Christ. Yeah. And I'm super excited. Not just because Mark and Candace are a cool couple, although they are. But I'm amazed that a couple in Durban would leave the land that they know, they would leave family and friends and respond to God in faith. I'm excited because Wally and Shirley are willing to give up, well, not give up, but hand over years of blood, sweat, and tears because they've heard God and they want to respond to Him. In an atmosphere where people are responding in faith to God, beyond their comfort, anything is possible. And I really do believe with these kind of moves and this kind of thing taking place, there's opportunity for us to see the impossible happen. We are living in exciting times. I really believe that this move is significant. What's happening here, this transition of leadership is significant for the city of Cape Town and for the world.
Yeah.
Really, that big. I really do believe it's that big. And we get to be a part of it. We get to be part of history being written and history that's going to affect the world, I honestly believe. And this is a time that our heritage is being formed. DNA is being put into our hearts and our lives that's going to leave a legacy. And I have the feeling that these responses to faith that have taken place are not only going to be knit into our DNA, it's going to affect the generations to come. That we're going to see generations after us taking big moves, making big faith moves like this because it's part of their DNA. Because they're of the lineage of Christ. They've seen people make, not just in the Bible, which is cool, and that's our point of reference, but to see big faith moves in real time, in real day. Because then you see the effect of what happened there is still available for now.
Yeah.
All right. Just before we start, I'd really like to encourage you guys to be praying. Praying for the eldership team, praying for Mark and Candace and Wally and Shirley. Paul in Corinthians and Thessalonians and Colossians, he's not afraid to say, pray for us. Pray for us. It's not a sign of weakness to request that. And so I really believe that we are not spectators in this whole transition. We're not spectators. We're a family. We're a family. This must go well because it affects us. It's our family. It's our destiny. And we need to be taking part of it. And one of the best ways we can be doing that is through prayer. And we need to be praying for the eldership team. We need to be praying specifically for relationships in the eldership team and the leadership team. It's a time where things can get sensitive. We look to Jesus, but in reality, things can get sensitive. So we want to make sure that we're praying for the protection over our leaders as they lead us forward in this time. We need to be praying for Walton Shills because they need boldness in their move. I know they're listening out for clarity from God on where He's taking them. And also protection upon them and their girls. And also for Blueprints, because they've got an exciting future ahead of them. Yeah. And then also for Mark and Candace, if we can be praying for... He's actually said he'd love us to pray for health. For their three little boys, for him. They're rushing around. They've got so much on the go. You know, their body can almost become a little run down. So if I can ask you guys to be praying for their health, that they would be strong, of good health. Protection as well, obviously, over them and their family. And then a practical point, that move would be smooth. That rhymed. Very good. Okay, so we're going to demonstrate what I've just spoken. If I can ask you to get up. Can I ask you guys, I'm going to do something different. Okay. Can I ask from let's get that whole family involved. There we go. From there to, we're going to pray for, just quickly for 2 minutes. I want you guys to pray for Mark and Candace. Okay. Pray for their health, their protection, and for the practicalities of their move. Okay. You guys over here, quite a dense section over here, not in intelligence, but in population. Okay, can you guys be praying for the eldership team, for protection over relationships, just be that stay envisioned in this time, and just protection over them as a team, okay? And then for this last section over here, can you be praying for Wally and Shirley? Okay, can you be praying for boldness, for clarity of thought? Okay, so I'm going to lead us a little bit in prayer, but this is going to require you guys actually praying. So on your marks, get set, go. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your hand upon this thing, God. This incredible time in history and our history as a family, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you hear our prayers, God. Thank you that you hear our prayers, God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. You're mighty God. Thank you for a bright future, Lord. Thank you that you are not a distant God. You hear our prayers, Lord. Beautiful God. Beautiful God. Beautiful God. Okay, God, we declare that we are excited. We're excited for what you have for us as a family. We're excited, God, and I thank you, God, that you hear our prayers and that you're a God that is an active and actioning God towards our prayers. You guys can be seated. Can I really encourage you to through the week, please keep this in mind. Not just this week. This is our family, guys.
Yeah, very good.
This is our family. We need to back what's going on. Okay, well done. You guys pray well. I really feel like we can change the world. I don't really do 5 points and handles very well. We know this if you've heard me preach before. It's not my thing. But over this time, I pick things up, I feel things, try to pick up themes, and I've really been sensing that God's wanting us over this time of transition to be... just be aware of our relationships. So I'm wanting to speak into relationships tonight, how we do them, hopefully bring a bit of revelation to our relationships. But as you listen tonight, it's not just based on this whole transition process. I believe that what I'm going to share tonight is applicable through our lives. And I really am sensing, as I've been thinking about this deepening of relationships, or God's going to highlight, I'll get a bit more specific now, but I really do feel that we're about to level up in what we know relationships to be, friendships to be, what this thing of family is. We're about to experience new levels. I really feel God's taking us deeper. I really feel God's got something for us that's so exciting in this area of relationships that it's actually going to shine. It's going to shine out. So in thinking about that, I thought, what's the best model of relationship we could look at? And I came to the decision or conclusion that the best model to look at is the one who invented relationship. And that's our Father. So, are you guys in Ephesians 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Ephesians 2 from verse 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. As we were singing scripture earlier, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of your works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I love Ephesians. Ephesians, yeah. In my Bible, it's pages are dirty. It's a book I camp on. There's something about Ephesians that I love. But I want to look in this particular passage. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins. And in that place of rebellion towards God, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the love that He loved us, He moved towards us. He moved towards us. And I just want to say, God values relationships so much that He did everything He could do to restore it. He did everything He could do. He paid the highest price to restore relationship. He got rid of all the hindrances that were in the way so that we could choose relationship with Him. It's amazing. I mean, the Father is... It really is a picture of... I mean, most of us love animals, I take it. Except for cats, for me, I don't know, that doesn't work quite well. But like, if you've got a pet, you think your pet's amazing generally, because it shows love to you. And even if you've got some funky pets, early dogs. But we're quite easy to please in terms of if someone shows love towards us, generally. It's quite easy to love back. And here God portrays or shows and displays that we were in utter sin, utter rebellion towards Him. We didn't like God, yet He moved towards us in love. And I feel that God's trying to raise our standard in relationships, raise our standard that we experience something of unconditional love. and can live out that unconditional love. Not just as a command or a duty, but from the understanding, and I'll get to it further on, which what enables us to do this, but that we don't have to be liked to like.
Brilliant.
We don't have to be loved to love. Makes sense?
Yeah.
I love it, eh? We need to be moving towards each other. He is always moving towards us. Look, as I speak through most of this, I've done some repenting. I am doing some repenting and will be doing some repenting because I'm preaching to myself here. But God bases his relationships on choice, on covenant. He makes a commitment to us. God won't fall out of love with you because something better has come along. He has made a covenant. He has made a choice. His relationship is based on choice. And if our relationships are not based on a choice to stay committed to relationship, at the first difficulty or disagreement, we will sacrifice our relationships on the altar of being right. And I want to say to you, we cannot, in this time, actually ever use our relationships as a bargaining chip. We need to be a people that say, relationship is a non-negotiable. It is never on the table as a bargaining chip. If I don't agree with what you're saying, I'm going to withdraw. Have you guys, I don't know if you've heard a three-year-old or a we've been staying with a couple that have a three-year-old, beautiful little girl, and she comes home from school the one day, or she tries to get you to do something, and you don't do it, and it's, I'm not your friend anymore. Yeah, it sounds cute. But some of us are still three. You're not going to agree with me, you're not going to do what I want you to do, so I'm going to try to control you by putting this relationship as a bargaining chip. I'm not going to be your friend anymore. Meanwhile, our model is unconditional love. While we hated God, he kept moving towards us. I want to say we need to be a people that are committed to our relationships, that we will keep moving towards people. If we don't agree with someone, we cannot put our relationship as a bargaining chip. I will not sacrifice relationship on the altar of being right or getting my way. God's called us to a higher calling. Life changes. Thank you. We're a funny bunch. We really are. When we're faced with someone who's different from us, usually fear arises. And fear arises because if someone is different to you, you generally don't feel safe because you can't always predict how they're going to behave. And we battle with not being in control of people's responses. I don't know if this makes sense to anyone, but it hit home with me. So if I feel unsafe because someone is different, because someone I can't control their decisions or their choices. Generally, we use distance and control to make ourselves feel safe. And we've seen it for many years, for that man has been alive. The Jews and the Gentiles. The Crusades. Distance and control, although that was very aggressive in their control. Apartheid. Distance and control. Why? Because we're afraid. The church for centuries has used distance and control to feel safe. While the Father has modeled unconditional love. God is in control, but he's not controlling. Can you guys imagine a church that after centuries decides to face its fears instead of using control and distance? A church that destroys fear with love, unconditional love. A church that moves towards those that are different, that are not like them, and shows love. If we can enter into this more and more, I think we're going to see just how rich an inheritance we have in the saints. Simple thing. Look around your friendship circles. How many people are just like you? Yes, I know we get along because of, you know, similarities and that kind of thing. Let's move it to this point. Are you showing love to people who are not like you? People who make different things a priority. People who look a bit different. People who eat a bit different. People who are different. Are we moving towards those people? If we're a church, and we say it, that's got our walls down, there's a very different people group out there. And I'm not just talking about culture, I'm talking about people who don't submit to our Christian moral codes. For years we've been distancing the sinners, distancing people that we can't control their behavior, we can't control their actions, so we distance them. We need to be moving towards them as God moved towards us. Is this making sense? Can the manifold wisdom of God be displayed through a people who will all look and think the same? When I say we've got it says it in Ephesians, a rich inheritance in the saints. The more diverse we get, the greater our inheritance. If we all think the same and we all look the same, how can the manifold wisdom of God be displayed to the rulers of this age? God's got something more for us, something deeper, something amazing. But I can tell you this, it's going to require some repenting. It's going to require us saying, sorry God for trying to create distance. Sorry, God, for trying to create control. Sorry, God, I need to change the way I think. I really do. I need to change the way I think. We can't be a people that let fear dictate our relationships. So this is applicable now in this time of transition. If someone comes in with different thoughts, different ideas, a different way of doing things, are we going to create distance? Are we going to try control our circumstances? Are we going to put our relationships out as a bargaining chip? Or are we going to move towards? Move towards. This is applicable for us in the kingdom. There is a world that's dying out there that needs people to move towards. And for centuries, the church has been trying to shut the doors, darken the windows, create distance, to remain holy and clean. And God's calling us to a greater calling, a higher calling. How on earth is this possible? How can I love someone with unconditional love? How is this even? I need love. How can I do like people that might not like me? I really felt God saying, we have everything we need in Christ Jesus. I mean everything. Have you guys ever had it where you've who's grown up in church here? Cool, man. Okay. Interesting. Where you've heard something your whole life, scripture or a truth, and then one day it just like, whoa, becomes real, like real, real to you. Judy was preaching last week, and she, I can't even remember the sentence that she said, but it was along the terms of, we have everything we need in Christ Jesus. And it just, like, it became part of me, that understanding that as it stands right now, on whatever circumstance I face, I have everything. He is all sufficient. I have everything I need in Christ Jesus. Everything. And then, to kind of give you a bit more understanding and a scripture to make it official, Ephesians 3, verse 14 says this: "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." Can you see? We're a family. We are a family, not just a group of people that get together. "That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." How is it possible to not just put our, to be in a place where we're happy to not be in control of people? How is it possible to be in a place where we're happy to not put relationships on the table of bargaining? To always be moving towards each other in love. Not letting fear distance us, fear of the unknown or different ways of thinking. How is that possible? It's to be completely satisfied in Christ, completely found in Jesus. He really has everything. Everything. So whether I'm sitting on the pavement with my wife and we're battling for food, I really know we have everything in Christ. It raises my level of trust. If I have everything in Christ, then big faith moves like Mark and Candace and Wally and Shirley are possible. Why? Because I'm held safe in Him. I have everything I need in Christ Jesus. I'm not relying on my relationships to make me whole. I'm not relying on receiving love back in order to give love, because I'm constantly receiving love. You know, some people, the soundtrack to their lives is a vacuum cleaner. Need, love me, more. It'll be sponsored by Kirby, Hoover. I don't know if you guys know people like that. I need more of this relationship, more. And we get taught this thing here at Life Changes when you're wanting to get married or you're looking for a significant other, that two halves don't make a whole. Two wholes make a whole. Okay. Very good. Guys, it is possible to love with unconditional love because of Christ. And we need to come to, and if you don't have this understanding, I'm praying that God would impart something of the revelation He gave me, that He had imparted to you, that where you are, your place of work, where you're studying, if you're at home, whatever you are doing, you have everything in Christ Jesus. Okay, so to finish up quickly, if I'm getting all my needs met in Christ, I stop becoming a consumer in my relationships and I start becoming a supplier. And for us to affect a needy world out there, a world that's dying, that's crying out for authentic relationship, real commitment, guys, we need to be found in Christ. Otherwise, they'll suck you dry. Obviously, we put boundaries in place to make sure that we can run this race for a good length of time. And I hope to speak on that one day. Not that I'm a relationship guru, but there's a dying world. We have the answer. We cannot let fear come in between us. For our time of transition, we cannot let uncertainty or change bring on instability in our relationships. We need to be communicating well. We need to make a decision. I'm committed to my relationships. I choose my wife. If my feelings for Cindy were based purely on love, it's a very shaky foundation. I choose her. I choose her every day. I choose her all the time. Men, you need to be choosing your wives. If you're on the internet, choose your wife. Constantly choose your wife. Doesn't sound romantic, but it's beautiful. Okay. I'm going to tell you guys what I see. Because we love from a place of fullness. I see a family, that's you guys. I see a family that is committed to relationships, that refuses to sacrifice relationships on the altar of being right. A people that create a safe environment for others to be vulnerable in. A family that can love and care for each other in a way that catches the attention of other people. I see the kingdom being established through covenant committed relationships that leave a legacy for generations to benefit from. I see us doing life well together. I really do. That we are loving with the love that's powered from above. Around as well. And I ask you to stand. And I ask you to stand, please. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, family, for listening tonight. I really trust that some of these concepts have hit home into your heart and that you'll take action towards them. Okay. Can we pray? Yeah. Father, I thank you for your unconditional love. I thank you, God, that when we were in utter rebellion, when we hated you, God, when we were living for our own desires, living for ourselves, you just crashed into our worlds with your love, your unconditional love. You constantly move towards us, God, and you have never stopped moving towards us in love, God, and we thank you for that. And I pray for that as a revelation to hit us in our hearts and in our thinking, God, that we would be a people that mirror that what we have received we would freely give, God. Jesus, I just pray for a revelation of the fullness of Christ that we have, because we are seated with you in heavenly places, because you have said that I will be in them and they will be in me. God, that we would understand what it is to have everything. And from that place of fullness, that place of security in you, God, that we would be able to live secure and strong relationships. May we be known in this community as a people who will not bargain our relationships away. May we be known in this community as a strong, safe place because of your love, God. I thank you for the destiny of each person in this room, God, that you have called them to such exciting things, God, in you. If you're here tonight and you've never made a decision for Christ, you've never accepted the love of God, please will you come up afterwards. If you want to know more about a God who is relentless towards you, a God who has done everything, you might say, but Dean, you don't know what I've done this week. You don't know who I am on the inside. I've ticked most check boxes on the sin list. Yet God moved intentionally towards me. And I'm telling you right now, He's moving intentionally towards you. He has made sure that nothing can separate you from His love. So if you're wanting to know God, would you come up afterwards? Father, we bless you. We're going to spend some time.